chapter 1. Nearly 2 years ago or so, we began a course of study through the book of Colossians on Wednesday nights, and something stood out to me in the first chapter, in the seventh verse, and it dealt with the faithfulness of Epaphras. There's one thing today that we as Christians at times will struggle with. It's just going to be faithfulness. It's going to be faithful. And there's a reason why, and we will get to that. But not faithfulness when we're up on the mountain. Sometimes that's when faithfulness comes easy. Faithfulness comes easy when we're up on the mountain. Things are great there. There's not much opposition there. And to illustrate this, someone I know recently took the law enforcement physical exam for a department outside of the state. And he was familiar with running 3 miles, but he was familiar with running 3 miles on a high school track. As you know, those are flat. Well, when it came time for the exam, they did not use a track. They used roads with different elevation, different speeds. And his muscles were not conditioned to all terrain. Sadly, he did not pass the physical portion of the exam. He was faithful. He was faithful during the run, but only during the ease of a smooth track. He lacked conditioning and perseverance to complete. And sadly, we as Christians at times, we will be faithful up until opposition. We will give up until opposition. We will serve up until opposition. We make commitments. We lay our heart at the altar until opposition. We surrender our wants, our needs, and desires until we want something, need something, or desire something. And this morning, I want us to place the emphasis on perseverance. Perseverance is not a bad word unless you tie it in with perseverance of the saints, which is heresy that teaches that man, based on his works, keeps his salvation. But since man couldn't earn it, man can't do anything to keep it. But with where we're going today, we're going to talk about perseverance in the life of a Christian. Perseverance is closely related to faithfulness. You may be faithful, but without perseverance, it won't be for long. You won't be faithful for long without perseverance. Colossians 1, verse 7. And ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this morning, we want to thank you for the opportunity to gather here in your house. I thank you, Lord, for those who have gathered. I ask you, Lord, to give me the words this morning that you would have me to say, and that it encourage your people. And if there's one here, Lord, who's never placed faith and trust in you, may they leave here today, Lord, knowing you as their personal Savior. I ask you, Lord, to give me the words that you'd have me to say, and that it be a blessing to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. First, we'll look at the definition of faithful. Faithful, by definition, means constant in the performance of duties or services. Exact in attending to commands as a faithful servant. I really like the word constant in this definition. The word constant. Another word comes to mind from, and it's the word consistency. You're consistent. You're constantly going about doing what it is that you've been called to do. You are constant. You have a testimony of being constant. You are someone that can be depended on. You're faithful. By the way, Proverbs 25:19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. We need faithful people in our lives. You need faithful friends. You need faithful spouses. In leadership, you need faithful folks that are going to work there with you, that are going to work there. You cannot depend on an unfaithful man. You need faithfulness. You need perseverance through times of trouble, or else you could be left high and dry in your time of trouble. And everybody in these rough patches in life, they're going to need somebody to be there for them. They're going to need somebody to come alongside and be there for them. And by the way, that's a good trait for Christians to have, is to just be faithful to people. Just be constant in their friendship. Be constant in your marriage. Be faithful to your husband. Be faithful to your wife. They need you. Have you ever had a broken tooth or a dislocated foot? They're not good things. They're painful things. And for a man or woman to be likened to such trouble is not a good thing either. I don't want to be referred to as somebody that's as bad as a dislocated foot. That's as bad as a broken tooth. We don't want this. Also, persistency comes to mind. A key word found in the definition of persistence is the word perseverance. It all ties in together. When you decide that you're going to be faithful to God and have some consistency about your life, then look out. You're going to then learn some things about perseverance. The devil sees your faithfulness. He knows God can do something with you if you're faithful. The devil don't want you faithful. Don't want you faithful to God. So he takes a blow at your faithfulness by giving you something, putting it across your path to hinder your faithfulness. The devil wants you to break. Wants you to give up, wants you to sit at home, wants you to take more hours at work, so on and so on. But you will have to persevere to continue in your faithfulness. Now, I tell you what, when I was away from God and I was coming back to God, getting out of the Marines, I tell you what, it was one thing after another in my path. One thing, it seemed like every day there was something else. Not just little stuff either. I'm talking about it seemed like every day there was something big in my path. Devil didn't like where I was going. He didn't like who I was following, and he didn't want me following him anymore because he had me where he wanted me before. You'll have to persevere to continue in your faithfulness. When you commit your life, the devil wants you to change your mind and for you to take control once again. He can't beat Christ, but he can beat us. He's no match for Jesus, but he can beat us. He wants us to wake up that day and say, you know what, I want to do my own thing. I want to figure things out on my own. And when he does, oh, he loves that. He's licking his lips. He's about to devour us. He loves it. When you commit money, maybe to missions, the devil wants you to change your mind. So be on the lookout to not have answers financially very soon. You're going to commit a certain amount of money. And get ready, a financial trial is coming. When you commit time, the devil wants you to change your mind. Be ready for another adventure to pop up, something else to take you away from God's house and your service to him. When you commit sin, the devil wants you, whenever you commit sin to God, you say, you know what, this area in my life, I'm going to commit it to God. The devil wants you to change your mind. Be ready for the devil to show up, place something in your path, that exact thing that you're struggling with, or something that will lead you to that exact thing that you're struggling with, to lead you right back to that sin. You'll have things in your path from day to day that are going to try and slow you down, things that are going to try and stop you from doing the things that you need to be doing for God. And consistency without perseverance will be a short-lived walk with God. It'll be a short-lived ministry. You'll have no longevity in the ministry, no longevity in church. I really believe that a lot of young ministry seekers don't make it for this reason. They lack perseverance. I was just talking about on Friday night at RU that, you know, a lot of the people that I went to Bible college with, only about half of them finished. Some of them, they got there, they said, God wants me to do this. God wants me to do this. I'm going to be here. I'm going to stick it out. Financial crisis hits. I don't know how I'm going to pay my school bill now. They're gone. A job opportunity comes up. I can make a whole lot of money, but it's going to interfere with school. They're gone. They quit. being able to withstand for a long period of time. That is perseverance. And if you're going to have a steady walk with God to the best of your ability, you're going to have to persevere the attacks that the devil is going to bring your way. Again, a lot of men never leave Bible college. A lot of men never reach the pulpits as a pastor. A lot of men never finish deputation and go to the field. The reason why, they were consistent for a period, but they lacked perseverance. You're going to have to persevere. You will start out on consistency. You will start out on being faithful, but you will quit if you don't have perseverance. When the money gets tight in the ministry, you'll go back to your better paying job. When some people leave the church, you'll leave too. When people in the church give you a hard time, you'll leave. Or give your kids a hard time, act like they're worse than the church. You'll be hurt, you'll be offended, you'll leave. When deputation gets hard, when the hours get long, when the miles get long, when you feel it in your back and your neck from constant travel, when the kids being stuck in the car for weeks screaming all the time while traveling the country, they'll quit. And many have. Missionaries will tell you about the hardest thing about the mission field's deputation. It's about the hardest part of it. When illness strikes, you quit. When the prognosis is bad, you quit. I was encouraged by Stephanie Wesco, the widow of Charles Wesco, who was martyred last year in Cameroon, West Africa. You know, she didn't quit the ministry. She refired in another direction. She has a book out. She wrote a book about it. I begin to think, just because God closes the door don't mean he wants you to just sit down on life. Just because something doesn't go our way doesn't mean that God just wants us to sit down. He's got another door. He closes one, he opens up another. It's never his goal for us to just sit still, sit down, wounded, and just stay there. When the car breaks down, when the house won't sell, sometimes all these things at once, many throw in the towel. Reason why, you may have had some consistency about you, but consistency without perseverance will have you sitting at home outside of the will of God. I got attacked. I told y'all before, my home life was rough. Dad, alcoholic and drug addict. Parents divorced. Dad committed suicide when I was 14. A lot of people see me up here and they think, oh, he's polished. He has nothing wrong with him. No, I got a whole lot of history. I got a whole lot of history. A whole lot of stuff from childhood. A whole lot of stuff from the Marines. A whole lot of stuff from combat. And you know what? The devil has a whole lot of stuff to attack me with. And there's a whole lot of stuff in your life that the devil can use to attack you. But I remember when I surrendered my life. I remember when I surrendered my life to preach. Surrendered my life to preach when I don't know, I was about 12 years old, maybe 13. A year later, my dad commits suicide. The Lord wants me to go to Bible college. And some people don't understand this because they've never been angry with God and they're on a class on their own, because everybody that's saved at some point in time has been angry with God. Everybody. Okay? And I was. I said, you took my dad from me. You want me to serve you, but you took my dad from me. Then I came about a year later after I resurrendered everything to God. I said, I changed the way I was phrasing that. He allowed it. He didn't do it. He allowed it. My dad done it. He allowed it. And you know what? It was a series of decisions. And bad decisions. So then I ran from God. Attacks. I ran from God into the Marines. I was faithful until it came to the point to where I needed to persevere. I needed to go through some attacks in life. I needed to go through some struggles in life and be able to come out on the other side and still be faithful to God. Now that takes growth. That takes spiritual growth. To get knocked upside your head and knocked down and get back up. That takes growth. It does. And looking back, I was not a mature Christian at 19 years old. I was not. Definitely not as much as I thought so. Just because God's called you to preach doesn't mean that you've arrived yet. And we never arrive. I knew of a man, a missionary. He has brain tumors. Speech is very messed up. At times, he's hard to understand when he teaches and he preaches, but he's still preaching, and he'll preach whenever they'll book him. If they'll book him, he'll come in and preach. That's consistency. That has been challenged and has persevered. Spurgeon had gout so bad in the last years of his life, some say he would about nearly collapse going to the pulpit with his cane. He'd have a chair behind the pulpit that he'd rotate, placing his knees on to support him while he preached. Sarah and I was talking the other day, and I gave a list of things. Already in such a short time, I've preached with a variety of illnesses. Back being out, several services, I've gone to urgent care when I got done preaching. You have to fight. You got to be willing to be uncomfortable. Now, there's also been times, there was a couple of times where I said I'm sick and I had to get Brother Stoner to fill in for me. There are those times, but I listen to the Lord about it, because you know what? I need to go through some stuff. It's good to preach when you don't feel like it. It's good to teach when you don't feel like it. It's good to go to work when you don't feel like it. It's good to come to church when you don't feel like it. It's growth. It trains you. It teaches you something. It teaches you to go through something for God. And you know what helped us in the Marines to become the men that we were, the warrior mindset that we had, was all the things that we had to go through. All the things that we had to go through to get out of boot camp. All the things that we had to go through in training to then go to war. You know that all of that is a development of your mindset. You know, in your mind you say, there's nothing I can't do without my training. Because I've been trained to go through anything, and that was our mindset. There's nothing we can't do with our senior NCOs and our officers. There's nothing we can't do without them. There's nothing we can't do without my brothers and sisters at arms. That was our mindset. And we've got to get to the place where we say, there's nothing I can't do without God. There's nothing I cannot do without Him. I can get through all of it. It don't matter what it is, I can get through it. You have to fight. You must be willing to be uncomfortable. Many were consistent for a season, but a life of going against the grain was not in them. A life of ministry was too much. I believe Epaphras had perseverance. And I want to learn from Epaphras, because my days of perseverance are not over. I got a lot more persevering to do. We all do. I'll be honest, when I'm looking for ministry leaders, I'm looking more at what they've been through and they've remained faithful. That's what I want to see. That's more important than what they say, than what they appear to be. Yes, a resume is important, but that's X's and O's. What are you between the lines? That's what I want to know. When you're in the trenches, are you fighting? What are you doing in spite of resistance? Where are you going in spite of? What are you saying in spite of? What are you giving up with your money, time, energy, and efforts in spite of? Your true colors come out when you become tested as to what you're willing to persevere for and come through on the other side. There's many people, folks, they'll get their eyes set on a boat. They'll get their eyes set on a house, and they'll work all kinds of hours until they get it. Some of them Christians, and you won't see them in church for months. Man, I wish we had this perseverance for Christ, for God. Wish Christianity wasn't so weakened and watered down and mundane as compared to what it used to be. Bothers me, a lot of Christians will never know what it's like to come through the fire onto the other side because they lack perseverance. What's more rewarding than putting in an effort of a hard day's work than to go to spiritual battle for your Savior, than to go to spiritual battle for your brothers and sisters in Christ next to you. Scratching, clawing, weeping, praying, and fighting all the way through the fire and coming out the other side and being able to look back and say that with the Lord's help, you persevered. I remember when I got, when I remember looking back, and I do this all the time. Situations arise, and I think back to how I would have handled it before. And I thank God that I didn't handle it that way this time. I praise God for that. That's growth. That's spiritual growth. When you can look at people that you used to couldn't stand, but you can look at them now. You can have love for them now. That's growth. When you look at things in your life that, you know what, the devil really used it to knock you down at one point in time in your life. And the same thing comes about and the devil thinks he can get you with it again. But it don't knock you out this time. That's growth. We can all do it, but we shouldn't be tripping up over the same stuff every time. We should get used to the things that the devil is putting in front of us. We should say, you know what, I've seen that a whole bunch of times. I ate dirt a whole bunch of times, and I'm sick of eating dirt. I'm sick of falling on my face. I'm sick of falling for the same lies. And you know what, the devil will give you the same lie until you learn to not fall for that one. And then once you learn to not fall for that one, he's like a raccoon. He's going to change what he does the next time so that you won't get him then. So you won't catch on to it then. That's how it works. But Epaphras had perseverance. Paul had this. A man once said, it's not a matter of if you can throw a punch, but it's a matter if you can take a punch and keep fighting. I met many a man in the Marines in my scuffling days out in town. They had big mouths, they could throw a punch, but they had glass jaws. They were weak and fragile. But we as warriors for Christ, we need to be able to take hits and keep walking. We need to be able to take hits and keep serving God. To take hits and keep coming to church, keep doing what we're supposed to be doing, swinging our sword, the word of God once again. I begin to think in our rich history since Christ founded the church, many of men and women went out into eternity swinging this sword, the King James Bible, quoting Scripture with their dying last breath. We can too. Our God is the same. We serve the same God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verses 1 through 8, it's a very familiar passage, a great example of consistency. Great example of faithfulness. Who better to teach this than Paul? Apart from Christ, Paul went through more than anybody else in Scripture. Maybe close to him would be Job. I don't know in all the trials that Job went through. They're up there. Job's up there with him. But, I mean, in all that Paul went through, who better to teach this? And in verse 2, he says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The phrase in season and out of season. You know, in season, it's easy to be faithful. It's easy to be faithful in season. But during coronavirus season, when it's out of season, it's a little bit harder. It's a little bit harder to stay faithful during that time. Even as a teacher, even as a preacher. That was perseverance. That was perseverance. We're dealing with consistency and perseverance, and it comes along with faithfulness. And in 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. It's important that the leaders of our church be faithful, or they won't be leaders. They'll be faithful, or they won't be appointed to leaders. You'll be faithful. You won't teach a class if you're not faithful. Men and women that teach Sunday school, you'll be faithful. Men that guest preach, they'll be faithful. They have a testimony of faithfulness, so they won't preach here. And Epaphras was faithful to God, but also to those that God had called him to. God's called you to people, and you're not faithful to them, then you're also unfaithful to God. God's called you to a Sunday school class. You need to be faithful to those people that God has called you to teach. And by the way, I do believe that there are a lot of things today that people do because they want to do. I want people to do things in the ministry because God wants them to do it. God wants you to teach Sunday school. This is what God wants you to do. God wants you to serve in this area. You feel the leading of the Holy Spirit on you to do this. And you know how that's crept in Christianity? Because you had preachers in the pulpit that God hadn't called. They just wanted to do it. We must take a lesson here on the faithfulness, the testimony of faithfulness that was characterized and exemplified in the life of Epaphras. We know that Epaphras was faithful. Scripture tells us. What was Epaphras faithful to? Says it in verse 7. As you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. He was a faithful minister to the church at Colossae. The word minister is defined as properly a chief servant, hence an agent appointed to transact or manage business under the authority of another. Likened unto the church of Colossae, we have a chief servant. We are all servants to God, but we have a chief servant. That chief servant is the pastor of the church, but the pastor is only the under-shepherd. This minister, this servant, is under the authority of another, that other being God. God is the head of the church. We're going through this in Sunday school, in the adult Sunday school class, about becoming a first century church. We're breaking this down. Christ is the head of the church. Epaphras was a faithful minister to the church of Colossae. Epaphras knew that he was nobody serving a somebody. Epaphras knew that he was nothing serving under somebody who is, was, and still something. Epaphras knew that he wasn't a big deal, but serving under someone who is a big deal. Epaphras knew that apart from God, there is no church. Epaphras knew that apart from God, there's no gospel. He knew that apart from the gospel, that preaching would be in vain. And what this world needs is more faithful ministers of Christ. We need more Epaphrases. A faithful minister of Christ, no matter what happens. We discussed earlier that in your attempts to be faithful to God, you must also be faithful to what God has called you to do and the people that God has called you to. God called Epaphras to pastor that local New Testament church in Colossae, and Epaphras was faithful to it. And he was faithful because he had perseverance. You're going to have to persevere. Paul, in several places in the Bible, Epaphras is not mentioned very much, but probably the biggest thing he's known for is faithfulness. And Paul mentioned him as a fellow prisoner in Christ. Epaphras had some perseverance. He got through some things. Paul had persevered. He got through some things. I ask you this morning, what has God called you to? I believe God has something for all of us. If you don't know what your calling is to God, seek his face about it. He's got something that he wants you to do. Ask him about it. Ask him what his plan for your life is. And then if you know what it is, ask yourself, are you faithful to it? Now, we'll have lapses in our faithfulness at times when we have lapses in our perseverance at times. I think about the times in the Marine Corps when the run was long, and you're thinking, I'm done with this. I mean, it's Friday. You've run 7 to 10 miles every morning throughout the week, and then you get to Friday, and you're like, you know what? My body don't want nothing to do with this. You get down to the end of the week, and you know what some folks do? I was guilty of it. You start slowing down. You may not stop, but you run your own pace. You're being rebellious, and that was me. I was being rebellious at times. I won't run your pace. I won't run my own pace. Sometimes we struggle with our faithfulness when we struggle in the area of perseverance. Just pushing through it. Just pushing through. And like I said, we need more Christians that are just going to push through stuff. You got a headache, come on anyway. You got something wrong with you, do it anyway. I mean, we do that for work. It's amazing how many people, they never call off to work, but they call off to church over the simplest thing. Shouldn't be that way. Tells us about our priorities. Is God chief or is this world chief? We got to decide who's number one. Who's going to be number one? We had a young man give a testimony on Friday night, and he's going to Massillon Baptist College. He gave a testimony. I mean, he's in Bible college now, and literally, I mean, just a year and a half ago, he was in a gang, and he was on meth. Just a year and a half ago. And now he's in Bible college and has a call to the mission field. And if you spend some time with him, and you talk to him, you see why God has him where he's at the pace that God has him there. He drives a junker car. The people at the college tried to call him one day, and his phone was disconnected. He let his phone disconnect so he could pay his school bill. Not many 20-something-year-olds are lining up to do that. They're trying to figure out why they can't get a hold of him. They're worried about him. They can't get a hold of him. He said, I needed to pay my school bill, so my phone got shut off. He's driving a junker car. It's about to fall apart. But he's got his eyes on one thing. And that's what God has for him to do. And we need to be that way. And you know what? And it's a reminder to me at times when I feel like my vision is messed up, to remind me of when I was going through similar situations for school, when I turned down jobs that I wanted to have in this world, but I couldn't have the job because it went against school. I knew God wanted me at school, so everything else had to fall. The jobs. We'd be tight financially. And I'm thinking, I don't know what we're going to do. I'm sitting down at the computer. I'm looking at higher paying jobs, but God's not giving me liberty. And I'm thinking, so you want me to sit here and struggle financially? Yes, he did. He wanted to teach me something. He wanted me to learn something in that. I told you all about leaving Hot Springs, Arkansas with just like $300 with a U-Haul trailer and a V8 truck pulling the trailer up here. Didn't even know if we were going to have enough money and gas to get here. We told you about us sleeping in the truck. The boys ate. Me and Sarah didn't eat for 2 days. And the Lord reminds me of that stuff and challenges me and asks me if I would do that now. Because sometimes we outgrow ourselves. Sometimes we got to be reminded of where we were. One of the hardest things sometimes about, I've said before, in a large part, preaching the gospel today and pastoring is out of season. You look at in-season. In-seasons, 50, 60 years ago, the places were full. Churches were full. Everybody just, they were in church. It's where they were. Places were closed. If you weren't going to church, they weren't giving you another option. Now they're giving you another option. If you don't want to go to church, you can go blow up the town. Everything's open for you. It's out of season now. Preaching the gospel. It's not popular anymore. It's not. You knock on folks' door, used to you'd get invited in. You don't get invited in now. It's nowhere near as often. It's out of season. And then even with Christians, at times, it's out of season. Many Christians want to create their own God that's not the God of this Bible. They want to create a version of God that conforms to them rather than them conforming to God. Or they just don't see themselves in the message. You're preaching. I don't deal with that. Not me. I don't even know why they come to church if they don't struggle with anything. Why even come? Why have a pastor if you don't struggle? It's out of season. It's not popular. One of my biggest prayers in the ministry is that the people of God see themselves in the message that God has for them. And I tell you, if I get up here with the message from God, it's for everybody in here. Everybody in here. I'd be scared if I leave and I got nothing out of the message. I'd be scared. If nothing in the message was for me, if I could apply nothing of it in my life, if I couldn't see myself anywhere in it, I'd be scared. There's a disconnect somewhere. And since we're non-perfect, God's going to send His Spirit to show us. He's going to show us where we are. He's going to hold up the Bible, the Word of God, which is a mirror, and He's going to show us exactly what we look like. And it's not one of them fake mirrors they got today, these skinny mirrors and stuff like that do all this stuff and distort and stuff. It's not Photoshop. You can't mess it up. God has a picture of you, but you got to look in His Word. And then you got to commit to changing what you don't like. We'll stand in front of the mirror and we'll fix stuff before we ever leave the house. We'll fix stuff. But we need to get in the Bible and fix that. And I know we struggle at times with perseverance. I struggle with perseverance at times. We don't like it. We don't like getting hit. We don't like getting attacked. We don't like things popping up every day, every week, every month in our path. We don't like it. So we struggle with perseverance. And the devil wants to tell you, you know what? If you don't want to get attacked anymore, then just walk away from all that. Walk away from God. Walk away from the Bible. Walk away from God. That's what He wants you to do. That's His ultimate goal. He wants to weaken the army of God. Because God uses us. God uses us. And He wants to weaken the army of God. And He limits the influence and the power of God when He attacks us and He gets us to forsake the army of God to go mess around with His garbage. But we can't do it. We have to stay faithful. During this season right now, we have got to stay faithful. It's a hard time to be faithful. We're persevering. We're having to persevere. Right now, meeting here today, we're going against the grain, but we've got to be faithful. We've got to be faithful to God. We've got to do it. And we've got to persevere. We've got to persevere through this season and come out on the other side, remaining faithful to God. We've got to do it. Let's close in prayer. Lord, as we come before You once again this morning, I thank You, Lord, for the challenge in my own heart and life through preparing this. It's been a constant theme over the last several months. Upon being reminded of this verse and breaking it down, it really encouraged me this last week, because our goal should be faithfulness. Our goal should be surrender. Our goal should be committed to You. But with that, we're going to have to persevere. We're going to have some battles. And not every battle is going to be from the devil. We're going to get some tests from You, Lord, to see if we meant what we said, and for us to see it in our own hearts and our lives if we're going to be true and faithful to our commitments to You. We see that, Lord, throughout Scripture, the disciples, their faith was tested. We see that. You lead us into storms at times to teach us something. And though we don't like being in the storms, we thank you, Lord, for what the storms do in us. And we praise you for it. Help us, Lord, to persevere and to remain faithful to you and what, by and large, we refer to as the last days. In Jesus' name, amen.